This is the...
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I'm back, and I have a very, very special guest. Rejection. Rejection, rejection. Anybody who has ever written has been rejected. Anybody who has drawn a cartoon for The New Yorker, if they are not rejected, they're very lucky. So I am so happy that I am talking to somebody today who has not been rejected. Matthew Diffie has not only has he been on, oh gosh, it makes me sick. Are you there, Matthew?
I am here.
The best of the rejection collection. 297 cartoons that were too dark, too weird, or too dirty for The New Yorker. Now, I want to know, Matthew, why I am not in this book. I never got an official rejection, but I have submitted to The New Yorker. It has been a dream of my life.
Well, we got to talk, because there will be future volumes.
Do you think they have it somewhere around there? Do they keep them?
No. I don't even know how many cartoons are regular, but over 100, probably 300. And we're all doing, 5 or 10 a week, so the turnover is massive. Who knows?
Actually, I submitted three of them.
Is, do you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about them?
I still have them. I could never figure out exactly why did they take you and not me. I want to add one thing.
Yeah.
I love a man in a cowboy hat. That's what I told C.J. Box when I first saw him. I said to C.J. Box, I love a man in a cowboy hat. So I am looking right now at a picture of you in a cowboy hat.
I'm wearing a cowboy hat right now.
Are you? Oh, I love it. Oh, that makes me so happy. Wow. So you have put together another collection here of rejections. Rejections.
Yep.
Now, how many of your cartoons were actually published?
I've had over 300 at this point. I've been doing it for 20 plus years. And, as I said, there's a lot of us doing a lot of cartoons. So there's a ton, piles and piles of rejected cartoons. And most of them are perfectly reasonable New Yorker cartoons that there just wasn't room for, but every now and then we do really outrageous stuff that's totally inappropriate for The New Yorker. And that's what these books are. We took sort of the best of our worst and put them in these books. It's a chance for you to see, the cartoonist who you normally see in The New Yorker doing something totally different.
I love it. And I love all of the frequently asked questions. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, beyond just the cartoons, I wanted people to get to know who these people were, because I'm lucky enough to be friends with them, but most people don't know them as people. So I gave them all this kind of ridiculous questionnaire that they all had to fill out. And to me, that became one of the most fun parts of the book, to see how different cartoonists answer the same question in totally inventive and funny ways.
Well, they are very funny. So not only do you have the fun of reading the cartoons, and some of them are actually quite quite risque. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why they were
pushing the envelope.
That's it, definitely. Some of them I still don't understand. that happens. I don't know. I look at them, and sometimes I can't figure out why. Why they were rejected. They look perfectly okay to me. Tell us a little bit. Well, I'm going to ask you, since you're here, I'll ask you one of the questions. Where do you get your ideas?
From my head, is what I always say. But honestly, I get them from anywhere, any way that I can get them. I do sit down with a cup of coffee and a blank sheet of paper every day, and, for 2 hours or so, I just sort of start something, whatever first pops into my head, and then follow it, take it apart, and put it back together, and usually I get a few ideas just randomly thinking through concepts and stuff. But I also get them, occasionally when I'm walking around, I'll hear somebody say something, and maybe it's not a complete cartoon as they said it, but I can put it in a different context and change it. Anything. I can get inspiration from old cartoons or from even flipping through the dictionary if you need to. Whatever gets you kind of going, and then you just drum up ideas. I don't know. It's part of the craft and the work of being a cartoonist.
So do you ever sit in a coffee shop and, listen in on other people's conversations?
I do not do that very much, but I do know cartoonists who love to work in coffee shops and eavesdropping, but also they just like working in the hubbub, as opposed to complete silence, which I prefer.
Oh, okay.
So. And some people doodle, will doodle their way. Like Roz Chast has told me that she likes to just start drawing something and then sees where it goes and then gets a caption later. There's a bunch of different ways to do it, but I'll try everything at least once.
So when you got the idea for this, when you started it, I'm sure people thought, well, okay, can we make a book out of it? And you have managed to really come out, I think, with a book that people will enjoy reading. The questions, as I said, they're intriguing, and you want to sort of know a little bit more about the artist. I have a few favorite artists years that I've gone back to, and I keep trying to figure out how in the world they've done it, which is always a lot of fun when you're looking at a cartoon.
Yeah, to me, that's the beauty of these books. They have the one level you can skim through and read all the cartoons in half an hour, and then you can go back in and delve into these questionnaire sections. And they're full of jokes and just really examples of great creative thinking. And in some cases, like very twisted thinking. But that's what these cartoon books are. They're a chance for the cartoonists to do whatever they want without needing to fit into the New Yorker's very specific brand. But we have a lot of fun doing it.
So how does it work in the New York? How do they select? What's the process?
Yeah, there's a cartoon editor who is Emma Allen, and she is the first person to look at all the cartoons that come in. And then I think she takes a winnowed down stack to the main editor, David Remnick, and the two of them make the final decisions on what maybe 12 or 15 cartoons will go in the next issue. Or they don't really buy them to go in that week, but they'll buy a certain number each week so that they have a supply. But I think that's basically how it happens. They just look at them and pick them.
What's the submission process for new people? They can just send them in?
Yeah, you can just send them to Emma Allen. I think it's pretty public, her email address and stuff. They may have a portal, I think, now that you submit things through. I don't know if you get, you never really got feedback or any word back. You only know if you sold. So if you hear nothing, that means you were rejected. But I mean, rejection is absolutely par for the course.
I submitted. I was just hoping I'd get a rejection letter. It would have been nice.
They used to do that.
Yeah, I think they used to do it.
Years, though. Been decades, I think.
Probably. That's one of the problems also with query letters nowadays. You're doing it all on this computerized stuff.
Systems.
It's not the same. It's not fun like getting a real proper rejection letter written on really lovely paper, signed by some
wallpaper the wall with.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that in those days. I think, actually, there's a market for rejection letters. You can buy them on eBay. So you can have a collection.
You get your own, you buy someone else's.
That would be nice, because in the old days, it used to be on really nice bond paper, and they signed it with real ink pens, and it was really, it was nice.
They turned that nice yellow brown color.
For you, having this many, you've had some independent shows with all of your artwork?
Yeah, we've been able to do some exhibits. There was a museum up in San Francisco, Cartoon Art Museum. We did an exhibit there. A few other small things. It's kind of nice to put cartoons up in a gallery setting and hear the people walking around and actually chuckling at art.
How many of these people are friends of yours? They're all competing with you.
Oh, all of them, yeah. All of them. I was in New York for 12 years, and so we would all go to lunch after dropping our stuff off at the magazine. Some of the newer people I've only met over Zoom or over the phone. But there's kind of an immediate connection between cartoonists. We're sort of a unique breed, and kind of there's a camaraderie between us, because we've all been doing the same thing. And not just the rejection, but the struggle of coming up with ideas. It's a very bonding sort of craft, I think. So
I think it's a fun book. As a matter of fact, I think it would make a wonderful Father's Day gift. A lot of people would really enjoy getting this book, because so often people are looking at what kind of book to get for Father's Day. And there's enough in here, and with a little bit of the naughty humor, I think this would be a great Father's Day gift.
I agree. It's a great one just to pick up and flip to any page and get a quick old chuckle. And then it makes a great toilet side book.
It's a lot of fun. I think it's a great book. You've done a terrific job. And isn't it nice that you can make a living doing something that you really love?
Yeah, and it's even more fun when you can kind of get the vindication of, like, digging these lost gems back out and showing them to the world, because otherwise they would never be seen. We have these piles, and they would just disappear from view forever. So
well,
with the rejection collection, they live.
Anyway, I love The New Yorker. I love reading The New Yorker, but I always do the cartoons first. Doesn't everybody who reads The New Yorker, I think they do the cartoons first, because you guys are really important.
I'm sure of it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matthew Diffie, for being on Joy on Paper. The name of the book is The Best of the Rejection Collection, 297 cartoons that were too dark, too weird, or too dirty for The New Yorker. Thank you, Matthew. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. Likewise. Enjoy your day.
Okay. Did you have a website or something you want people to see, or are you on Facebook?
People should find us on social media. That's the best place.
Social media, because cartoonists are social, and Matthew is great, and he looks super in a cowboy hat. Thank you, Matthew.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
All right. Thank you.
All right. What a book. Bye-bye now.